PodcastOne.com presents Heather Dubrow's World. Get real-life insights and advice from a successful actress, mom, wife, and one of the most awesome of the Real Housewives of the O.C.
Yes!
Now, here she is, Heather Dubrow.
This is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it for 1 hour each week right here on Podcast One. Hi, everybody. We have an amazing show for you today. We are going to broadcast our first live show that we just did. It was so fun. Sold out. Beautiful flowers from Books. Everyone had an amazing time. Great guests. Special surprises. And don't forget, go check heatherdubrow.com for future tour dates that are coming up in New Jersey, Minneapolis, Chicago, Las Vegas, because we can't wait to see you. All right, before we get started on that, I have something so cool to tell you about. Have you heard about Audible? Because summer means travel, and with Audible, getting there can be just as exciting as your destination. Discover where Audible audiobooks can take you. Whether it's a mystery, a thriller, memoir, or a bestseller, Audible turns travel time into story time. Just download your books or shows to your mobile device and listen anytime, anywhere. Guys, listen, if you're like me and after you had kids, you know, I couldn't even forget about getting through a book. I couldn't even get through a magazine. I had to get rid of the stack of magazines. This is such an amazing way to listen to not only books, but comedy and all kinds of amazing content. So join Audible today and explore the world's leading provider of audiobooks, all beautifully performed by talented actors and narrators. And hey, if you're listening to anything that we should check out on Audible, tweet to me your suggestion and include hashtag Audible Heather. Start a 30-day trial and download your first audiobook for free. Go to audible.com/Heather to get started. That's audible.com/Heather for a free 30-day trial and audiobook. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, welcome. I can't believe you came. No, I'm serious. When we started the show, my agent said to me, you know, you should do a podcast. And I said, I don't know what that is. So he explained to me, I go, you know, I went from the rotary dial to the iPhone, so I don't know what a podcast is. And he explained to me, so we threw it together, and everyone always complains about the graphics on our show, that they're really lame, because I didn't want to spend money because I thought no one was going to listen. And then they said, you should do a live show. And I go, okay, that's a great idea. And I didn't think you'd come. I had these nightmares about, like, that movie, you know, Stella Dallas. Bette Midler did a remake. Does anyone know this movie? And she's, like, inappropriate, and her kid has a party, and no one shows up. Oh, my God, I had recurring nightmares about this entire thing. But you came! I'm so glad you're here! Hello, Irvine! Oh, my gosh. This is so great. So, listen, if you're new to my show, and someone dragged you here, like you're, yeah, you could laugh. I know some of you are dragged here. Your partner, your significant other, your book club friends. They're like, you have to come with me. I need a friend to go to the Heather Dubrow's live show with. Welcome. I'm thrilled you're here. And we do our show when we tape it in the studio in three segments. So we do our first segment, which is kind of what's going on in my world and talking about all things housewives, botched, Heather Dubrow's things, and then we do some beauty tips and hippest, hottest, newest, the greatest, latest things in health, wellness, and beauty. And then our second segment, we have guests. And our third segment, we do Dear Heather. It's kind of like Dear Abby, but with a twist. It's me. So tonight, you're going to get an opportunity. Does everyone have, like, cards and pencils? I think I bought, like, 500 pencils. So you can write questions, and Natalie's going to be here, and she will come around with a microphone, and we'll do those live. Yeah. Oh, does everyone have a drink? Yeah. Who's drinking Champs? Okay. Oh, you ran out? Uh-oh, emergency, and they ran out? Stop it. Someone needs to make a Costco run. It's an emergency. That is crazy. I'll make sure that happens. I need Champs for table one.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
All right, well, you know, usually when we tape the show, I don't drink, but we're going to have to crack that baby open in a minute.
Every day is a good day for champagne. I love that. All right, well, listen, this is our first live taping. We're going on a national tour, so you're our guinea pigs. If you know me at all, you know I'm usually Terry's guinea pig, so now you're all my guinea pigs. I'm very, very grateful and thankful that you're all here. We have an amazing show tonight. We're keeping it very OC. The very adorable, hilarious Terry Dubrow is here. He said to me before the show, I said, oh, I'm so nervous. And he said, oh, don't worry, honey. They're really just coming to see me. And I said, I know. When I walked up, I saw people with posters with your name. And he goes, oh, really? I was like, no, that was a joke. Okay, but first, I need to bring out my co-host. So, you know Natalie. She rolls with it. I mean, this poor girl from Craigslist, as you saw. I mean, can you imagine everything? I go, hey, by the way, today we're doing this. She goes, okay. She's amazing. She is the most fabulous girl. Please welcome Natalie Boucher. I got champagne problems, champagne problems. So pour a glass and let's drink up on my champagne problems. I got champagne problems, champagne, champagne problems. So pour a glass and let's drink up on my champagne problems. They ran out of champagne while we're playing. That's champagne problem. Right there. That's crazy. Oh, should we pop the bottle?
I think so.
Okay.
But I feel bad. They ran out. Like, they can't even drink champagne.
Well, we can pour a Schlern.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. So, by the way, this is our first stop. I don't know if I can...
Here.
This would be multitasking.
This is why I'm here.
This is our... Oh, thank you, honey.
Oh, you're...
Okay, so this is our first stop on the Heather Dubrow live tour. So we had a waiting list outside, which was very sweet. And if you know people that wanted to come, you can go to heatherdubrow.com and you can see our tour. But we're going to be in New Jersey, Chicago, San Francisco, Minneapolis. Where else are we going?
New York.
Vegas. Who here... I hear some people here from out of the country. And you're out of the country? Where are you from? You're from Canada? Oh my gosh, welcome. That's so cool. Thanks for coming. Oh, that was a good sound. Sorry, got distracted. Who's here from out of the state?
Miami
is in the house. Anyone else? Arizona, welcome. Oh my gosh, you guys, that's so cool. Who came as far as Pacoima? I don't even know where Pacoima is, but every year they tell us on the Housewives we're going to this fabulous destination. I always go, we're going to Pacoima. It's always Pacoima. Oh, we got champagne going. All right, that's good. Okay, so this has been an insane week. So much has happened this week. When you plan things to happen and then they actually come up? Like you go, okay, you know, in 3 months I'll be doing this, or in 5 months I'll be doing that, and then it happens. So it all happened weirdly in the same week. So we moved into our house. Is that insane? All right, we're going to talk about that. But so we moved into our house. Terry and I went Monday, slept there. And then Tuesday we brought the kids. And then last night, I didn't even know I had a bucket. Who's got a bucket list? Anyone? Does anyone have a bucket list? I didn't think I had a bucket list. But there was one thing I always wanted to do. And that was to sing the national anthem at... you were there?
Oh, yay!
She needs a Schlern. So I always wanted to do it. And a buddy of ours, Jimmy Edmonds, like, I don't know, 8 months ago, we were talking about it. He goes, oh, I can make that happen. I'm like, you can? Okay, great. Never happening. And then, you know, I had to record it and send the recording, and it's like a big process you have to go through because they want to make sure you're not doing like a Roseanne Barr. So I did all that, and then it happened last night. So, okay, you want to see it?
Yeah!
All right, well, let me just tell you. So we get to, of course, me and Natalie get to Angel Stadium. Terry was working. No, he came. He came. He just came later. So we got there, and it was the most surreal experience ever.
But by the way, I mean, you completely knocked it out of the park.
But weren't you worried?
No,
you weren't. Come on, you weren't worried. I was worried. And then, yeah. But we get out there and there's like supposed to be this big sound check. Well, first they make me sing in a room to make sure that the recording I've sent in has not been doctored. Who knew? And then they go, okay, yeah, you're fine, go. And then there's supposed to be a sound check, but they have Katy Perry music playing during the sound check. So I can't hear anything, and there's supposed to be this hideous echo. And I was calling Kristen Chenoweth going, what do you do about the echo? She goes, just sing it. I said, okay. So I got out there, and they had the entire USA Olympic volleyball team standing on the field. And I mean, by the way, for me to feel short.
Welcome to my world.
So they were all standing out there, and I looked at them, and I thought, okay, these kids are going to represent our country in the Olympics. This is nothing. I got this. I can do this. So do we have the tape?
Sure do.
Should we roll it?
I'm in the way.
In honor of those serving our nation at home and overseas, from the Real Housewives of Orange County and the hit podcast Heather Dubrow's World, please join Heather Dubrow in the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
gentlemen, let's hear it for Heather Dubrow.
Not hideous, right? Not hideous.
Amazing.
Not bad. The last time I sang in public was at Tamara's wedding. 3 years? Is it 3 years? 3 years ago. My God. No, it was fun. I was, you know, sweating. And this is Terry's comment. Man, your boobs look big. That was his comment. Anyway, it was super fun. Thank you for coming. It was really fun. It was like a real experience that I checked the box, and they've asked us to come back next year, maybe do it again. So maybe we'll do that. Anyway, so we moved into the house this week. Is that crazy? So, what? So happy. It's like, you know, I'm a perfectionist. It's like 95% done, so I'm not letting anyone in the house. Is David Heil here? He came over to deliver Terry some clothes tonight. I'm like, don't let him pass the foyer. There's no tours. Lisa won't let me in the house for 3 years. I know you're here. So, oh, no, I don't have pictures. I put some pictures on Instagram. But I will tell you this. So we've been together almost 20 years, and I've been begging him to carry me over the threshold. You got champs. Oh, mazel tov. Fabulous. So I've been begging him to carry me over the threshold, and I kind of wanted to film it. And, you know, you get to that point where you go, is it more important to live the... And I do this with my kids, too. Is it more important to live the experience or to film it and watch it later? Which, by the way, I never watch. Ever. Later. So I thought, I'm just going to experience it. So I had Terry come. We stayed the first night in the house by ourselves. And so I had him... He texted me. He was coming home, and I made us drinks, and I left him on the front table, and he pulled up, and I opened the front door, and I stood there, and he was like, I can't work the system, the music, and all that. So he's like in his car working this to get the music on. So he gets the music on, and I'm like, ready? and he carried me over the threshold.
Yay!
He did.
It's about time.
I know. 20 years was like about time. And it was super sweet, and we cried. I always cry when I'm happy. Although this season on Housewives, I kind of cry a lot.
I know. But it's okay. Everyone can have their vulnerable moments.
It's very odd crying. You'll have to stay tuned for that one. But, no, we cried. It was super sweet. But now, so we're in the house, and I really want the kids. I'm trying not to be, you know, I'm a control freak, but I'm trying not to be a huge control freak. But I want them to be respectful. Everything's new, and they need to follow the rules. I bought like 700 coasters.
And the kids have used none, literally.
None. But then I won't let them put the they go like this, go, ah! So they were going, we have this trampoline in the backyard, and they were going out to the trampoline, and I said to Coco, who's now 5, I said, Coco, listen, when you go outside, that's fine, but when you come back in, wipe off your feet before you go into like a carpeted area. And she went like this. 5 years old. Seriously? I mean, is that insane?
Too funny.
She's so funny.
I know.
Are you excited for tonight? This is going to be so, so fun. So before we get to our guests, as you know, those of you, I'm seeing the drag. You were dragged. I see. But we do a little beauty tip. So bear with us for the draggers. Okay. So here is my beauty tip of the week. My beauty tip of the week is how to get your sunless tanner off. If any of you know me, you know that I wear basically an old-fashioned bathing costume at the beach. Meanwhile, except for Hawaii, where why is there paparazzi in Oahu? I'm not that fancy. How did that happen?
I have no idea. But you that looked was, great in the photos.
Oh, my gosh. So they put... I always wear like a rash guard and shorts. I'm like... I almost have knee socks on in the pool to avoid paparazzi and sun exposure. And they post all these pictures. Before I even read the headline, I zoomed in. I went... like, is there cellulite? How do my boobs look? Everything. It was so bad. And then I read the headline. The headline was like...
Finally, you guys are like in like a good place.
Oh,
after,
like we had a bad trip in where did we go?
When you guys went to...
Turks and Caicos. We had a great time. I don't know. You know how they make stuff up. Whatever. Anyway, so I was a little obsessed about that. But so because I don't sit in the sun, self-tanning is actually such a fabulous thing. But a couple of seasons ago, we were going to Mexico and I got a spray tan and I ended up like an Oompa Loompa. Because I had, I mean, I think an 18-year-old girl spraying my body, and she doesn't know when you've had 4 kids and you're a little older, you have to lift your breast to spray underneath, or else you have like a white moon shape thing. Oh my God, don't hit your head, love. But do you know what I'm talking about? So I'm standing there. First of all, I'm horrified. She's 18 and looking at my body. And then she sprays me, and then I go, well, what about under here? She goes, all right, well, lift them up. And I go, oh. So I lifted him up, and then she sprayed again, and then it looked all, I don't know, spotty, and then she took the whole thing off and did it again, but guess what got sprayed like 7 times? My hands. So I looked like an Oompa Loompa, and every time I put my hand on my face, Tamara was like, get your hand away from your face, that looks terrible. So I went online, and I looked for all these ways to take off self-tanner, and I couldn't figure it out. So I had to go to an expert. So I'm just telling you, if you use the self-tanner, this is what you have to do. You have to take a super hot shower. And then you're going to gently scrub your skin. And when you get out of the shower, you want to take a towel and you want to kind of slough it off. Okay? So don't bother with the lemons. I tried that. That doesn't work. Don't bother with alcohol. And then you want to right away put on body lotion because that's what gets rid of it. You want to put on body lotion. So you want to rub and use the body lotion. Okay? And it's going to come right off. And the key is to towel off quickly. All right. So here's the thing. I got these tips from my very good friend, Lindsay, who's here tonight, somewhere. Lindsay, where are you? So Lindsay has this incredible company. I love women that create their own businesses. She started this business out of the trunk of her car. It's called Million Dollar Tan. It's now everywhere. It's in Nordstrom. It's coming out on HSN. It's everywhere. Unbelievable products. And I love what an incredible... This woman has more energy than 10 people. So this was, has anyone ever been to a Korean spa? Have you? You're Korean? Oh my gosh. So this is the most, there's one on Olympic in LA that I used to go to. And this is what you do. You lie down to get a massage. Have you been to one? Isn't it amazing? But this is what you lie down. First of all, you really have to let it go because there's no robes. Right? You walk around naked. Naked. And then you lay on a table. There's no robe. There's no towel. You just walk around. Everyone's just walking around. And you lie on a table, and they take this scrubber, and they basically do every square inch of you until they hit the bone. And then when they hit the bone, they move on. So it's the best scrub ever. And so my friend Lindsay, who owns Million Dollar Tan, she went to one of these Korean spas, and we were laughing about it. But she said because of that, she created this incredible mitt that's even better. It's like organic and natural and fabulous and preps your skin for the self-tanner and helps you get it off. So that's in your goodie bags. So thank you to Lindsay. Where are you? Are you here? Can you stand up? Stand up, Lindsay. There's Lindsay Diggout, Million Dollar Tan. Million Dollar Tan, people. Go check that out. And thanks for giving everyone a little piece of your fabulous in their goodie bag. And now for our hippest, hottest, newest. So I like to highlight something that's a hippest, hottest, newest thing in health, wellness, and beauty. And this time we're talking about... There's this company called Thorne. And they have these very, very cool products that give you energy. So I ran into this girl at the gym the other day, and she's like, oh, we have these products that give you energy. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. It's like Phenadrine. My heart's going to be racing. It's not good. But they sponsor the Olympic team, the entire Olympic team this year. So you know it's all organic. It's, you know, they have to be drug tested. It's nothing chemical, and it gives you energy. And these products are amazing. So I want you to go check them out. I'm going to put them on my website, heatherdubrow.com, so you can get a link. But they've given us, in all of your goodie bags, they have a new lip balm. It's 99% organic, and they claim, I haven't tried it, so you're going to have to tell me, that it freshens your breath. Isn't that kind of cool? So you're getting that in your goodie bags. By the way, there's a Cut Fitness gift certificate in your goodie bags. If any of you live in the Ladera area, that's an incredible gym. Tamara and Eddie are unbelievable. Cheers. All right, stay tuned because Terry Dubrow is coming up next. But first, I have to say thank you to Books. They provided these beautiful flowers for our live show, and they're such an incredible company. You know, when you send Books flowers, it's really an extravagant gesture. But let me tell you, Books prices start at a mere $40. And with the Books, there are no upcharges. I mean, that's huge. No extra fees. Even delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Books. Now, you know, I've been asking my podcast listeners to email me the reason why they really deserve some Books flowers. And we picked a winner. Her name is Christina, and she wrote, "Dear Heather, I'm in need of flowers to cheer me up. Why, you ask? After moving to Orange County for work, I was excited to hear that I would get the chance to see you live. After returning from a work trip and enjoying a morning walk on Newport Beach with your podcast playing, I suddenly remembered tickets for your show still sitting in my cart to check out. Unfortunately, I tried to check out and the sad message displayed, sold out. Now, I should have acted more swiftly, but alas, I missed a grand opportunity. Flowers will help me forget the misfortune. The holidays have me away during your next Orange County show." Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations, Christina. And don't worry, we will be doing more live shows next year. So enjoy your Books flowers. And don't forget, my listeners save 20%. That includes you and the audience. Just go to Books.com and enter promo code Heather. That's Books.com, promo code Heather. All right, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome arguably sometimes my better half, the funny, the fabulous, in my opinion, the cutest plastic surgeon on earth. Please welcome Terry Dubrow.
Everyone, hey, first I want to congratulate my wife on her first official live podcast. I think she's doing amazing. Wow. And unfortunately, my lesser half, Paul Nassif, couldn't be here tonight. And he has a good excuse. Apparently, there's a all-you-can-eat carb special.
Is he so mean to him or what?
And so you want to take advantage of that, you know, so.
All right, well, I promise you we'll be talking about everything you love.
Botched. Yes.
And you and all of that. But first of all, since we have kind of like a singing theme tonight.
I'm not singing.
No. Oh, no, you're not singing, but here's something funny. So, Terry, does everyone know Terry's brother was the lead singer of Quiet Riot, Kevin Dubrow? Remember that? Come on, feel the noise. Yep. So, Terry calls me and he goes, guess what? I can sing. And I said, no way. He goes, yeah, I was singing and in the car and I turned the music down really fast and I kept singing and I think I'm actually very good. And I said, that is amazing, honey.
That's so mean. Haven't you ever done that? You're in the shower and you think, oh my gosh, I can
really
sing.
Yeah, but most people realize they're in the shower. I think that was...
I thought for a second... Okay, yeah, I can't.
Anyway, I think... By the way, I think you actually sang the national anthem for me.
No, no, it was Oh Beautiful or something.
Oh, you know, America the Beautiful?
That's a great song.
Yeah. Yeah, and he brought himself to tears. And me. So that was good. But what was that like?
It was kind of good.
What was that like growing up? I mean, I always talk about your mom. I mean, it's incredible. Two boys, one both rock stars. One becomes a singing rock star. One becomes a plastic surgery rock star. What was that like growing up with a brother? I mean, what was that process to watch him become a rock star?
Well, my brother was 3 years older than I am. And so we were both very intense. But he was... a super intense, maybe not as nice version of me, but we grew up in a very, very small bedroom, and his bed was, these were homemade beds right next to each other, and I had my little desk, and I was very into science and maybe some athletics, and my brother was very into, as you can imagine, rock and roll. So he was 3 years older, he was 6'5", and there was a picture of Jimi Hendrix, the guy from the Doors, right? The Beatles or something, and a big drum set. And he'd play, and I'd be studying calculus and stuff like that. And I'd go, you know, I'm sort of learning differential equations. He'd go, yeah, fuck you.
Honey, this is a G-rated
show.
Oh,
sorry. Maybe one too many.
But what was funny, one story that always sticks out in my head is that Kevin was very good at making little model planes.
Right. So my brother was extremely talented at using his hands, which is you'd expect me to be, right? So he started winning these model building contests.
Was like he making planes or cars?
He was making
cars?
Planes and cars. He
would out make of these, what? What were they?
They? You know, you'd buy these sort of
like
disassembled kits, and you'd have to individually spray paint each one of the things and then glue them together. And he was so talented at it. And so I said, well, you can do that. I can do that. So.
And what did they name your creations, honey?
So, you know, I bought this little car, sort of a starter set, and I wasn't very good at it. He goes, he'd walk by and go, oh, it's the Gloomobile. And then I bought a dinosaur.
And then he becomes, the Gloomobile became a microsurgeon.
Right. And then, of course, I got a dinosaur. It was much easier. And he goes, oh, Gluosaurus.
But when he, all right, so even though you had a little bit, I mean, a lot of siblings have a contentious relationship, but when he was making his transition from, you know, a guy who played in the band in your local pub to rock star, what was that like in your world?
It was really amazing. I mean, it really happened in 1984. I was a third-year UCLA medical student, and a second-year UCLA medical student, and my best friend of all, Dr. Scott Forman, who's here tonight. We were med school roommates. We had
Chris Scott. He's going to be on Botched by Nature this year, too.
Yeah, he does an amazing job on Botched by Nature. So anyway, we had one of those sort of voicemail machines. You know, those what were those called? Voicemail. Answering machines. So,
oh, no. His mind is going. Right. He needs to drink more champagne.
Well, I mean, who has an answering machine, right?
That helps with dementia.
Right? So anyway, long story short, we would come home from class, you know, biochemistry, physiology, anatomy, and every day when he was moving up the charts, Quiet Riot, we would hit the button and check the answering machine. It'd be a note from my mom that says, honey, Kevin's album is number 86 with a bullet. And then we go, oh, cool. And we go to class the next day, come back.
Do they still have that? Do they still have the bullet?
It's the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
still have a bullet?
Scott and I would come back, and it would say, honey, his album is 68 with a bullet. And then it got to 22, and then we came home one day, and I'll never forget, this is one of those moments you remember for the rest of your life. I hit the answering machine, and he said, it's number one with a bullet. And it was the first hard rock album.
Is that the coolest thing ever?
And number two was this little album, you may have heard of it, called Thriller. And number three was Lionel Richie's All Night Long. So it was one of those amazing moments that I had. And then, of course, he sold out the Forum, which is like the Staples Center.
Right, and didn't he take you backstage?
And he goes, come here. And he takes me backstage, and I'm backstage with him. And he goes, watch this. And he was just about to go on. And he opened up the curtain, and there's 14,000 people with lighters going like
if you
this.
Don't, oh, you all know what a lighter is. Can you, isn't it weird that no one does that anymore, that they hold the cell phones up? Have you seen that? It's the oddest thing.
So I was, you know, obviously blown away, really proud of him. I was his little brother.
So even though you were contentious, you were still proud.
I was still very proud, but he was still incredibly mean to me, to be honest with you.
Didn't you, wait, you lived in his guest house too. Didn't you take care of his cat?
I lived in his guest house. My one
They're
job,
cat guys.
He lived in this huge mansion. He spent all his money with his first album, which sold like 14 million albums. And I was a third-year med student by this point, and he was huge, selling out everywhere he'd go in across the world. And then I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work, to go to school, do my surgery rotations at UCLA. He would come home at 3 o'clock in the morning with four girls and the pool table. And
hello.
Yes. And, you know, the stuff you put on ice cream.
Oh, Whippets.
Whippets.
I don't know what those are, though.
No, not Whippets.
Is my mother here?
Whipped cream. And so I'd put on my white coat, and he'd be in there with David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen whipped creaming girls on the pool table. And it was
And where were the selfies when we needed them?
It's just one of those moments you remember, you know. This is surreal. I'm going to see sick patients in the ICU, and my brother's whipped creaming girls from the tour with David Lee Roth from Van Halen. Weird.
Did you find it inspiring? I mean, here you
Very
are.
Very inspiring.
Well, I'm sorry to say he didn't end up that way.
That's why it was all about surgical residency. It was about call rooms and nurses. No, I'm kidding. Maybe a little bit.
That's okay. Whatever happens, you know, BH before Heather. That's fine.
Right.
That's very cool. So let's talk about your favorite subject.
Me?
Botched.
Oh, botched, yes.
By the way, if you ever wondered who those Sunday all-day botch marathons were created for?
Me.
That would be Terry Dubrow. It's like his perfect Sunday.
It's like it goes on, and all of a sudden I see
It's like that movie. You know when you get that movie and you sit at the end of the bed and you don't really mean to watch it, but you just kind of sit there and you get sucked
Forrest
in?
Forrest Gump.
That's botched.
Yeah. And so I see myself say something slightly amusing, but I might want to see that again.
Oh, over and over.
Yeah. So I rewind it, and I notice like a head tilt and an intonation. That was funny. Maybe I should see that again.
Our first night in the house with the kids on Tuesday, we gathered around, and we all had a family moment on the sofa watching
Botched.
And before it starts, Terry goes, this is the funniest, best episode we've ever done. And he proceeds to crack himself up through the entire thing.
If no one else is going to find me funny, I might as well.
And God forbid anyone should talk.
Yeah, I can't. I'm just about to make a joke. And Coco, bitch, interrupts.
This is a G-rated show.
And I look and I go, Coco, shut up.
Okay, that didn't happen, but funny, but didn't happen. But it was fun, actually. We had a very, very nice family moment. You know, I think what's cool about botch and watching you do botch is that there was a time where you were really not happy operating anymore. And there was a time that you you were bored, you felt like, you know, you started out as a general surgeon, really saving lives and helping people, and then going into plastic surgery,
yeah,
you were dealing with people that wanted little changes or that kind of thing, and botched really changed that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I trained in general surgery. I was chief resident general surgery, and I saved gunshot wound victims and cancer victims. And here I am, you know, listening. No problem with this, because it's how we pay the mortgage, but listening to patients go, well, I'm kind of happy, but I'd really be happy if I was like this.
Yeah, we call it the happy, not happy.
And
happy,
I'd look there,
not happy.
I'd
happy,
go,
not happy. Happy,
I know,
not happy.
Right?
Happy,
and I'd go,
happy.
Oh my God, all this training, and it's come down to this. So then, you know, I did the swan, and that was cool, but that was all cosmetic surgery, and then botched.
Now, do you remember the swan? Do you remember this?
Right.
That was every reveal.
It, you know, I feel proud that I was on what's widely considered the worst reality show of all time.
I don't know. Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire is up there, too. Remember that Darva
Cogger
thing?
Yeah, that was number two. Botch number one. I mean, Swan number one. So anyway, Botch came by, and Paul called me. You want to tell him?
Yeah.
Paul called me and said, hey, I have an idea. We do a lot of revisional plastic surgery. We help people who have very difficult problems. Let's do a show about fixing the world's hardest problem and put it on national television. And I had like 104 fever. I was at home, and I said, Paul, stupidest idea ever. Because, you know, most of the time you can't fix this. And
let's put it on TV.
And let's put it on TV. So I pitched, I said, why don't we do a show about fixing congenital deformities? Patients who were born or accident victims. And he goes, yeah, no, boring.
So cut to, Botched becomes this huge phenomenon. And now, which is a great segue, is Botched by Nature, which is coming out August 3rd.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Botched by Nature.
So Botched by Nature is all about, it's 8 episodes, all about, Paul and I go all over the country, and we see people who didn't have access to plastic surgeons anywhere, and who have congenital deformities. And these are, like, for example, a woman was walking into a TJ Maxx or something with her kid and got struck by lightning. Literally.
And is that insane?
It completely destroyed her breast. Another woman was born a conjoined twin, you know, a Siamese twin, and has no buttock. And so, Paul, we would go there and meet them and have fun in their world, because we're like fish out of water. We eat squirrel in Louisiana, alligator elsewhere. And so we were tasked with these incredibly impossible things to fix. But because of the botched experience, we sort of learn. I mean, you know, it's the practice of medicine. And botched is taken, whatever level you're at as a plastic surgeon, when you do 3 seasons of botched, you're just 1,000 times better. And I want to make one little shout out. My office staff is here today. And I got news for you. I have news for you. I am only as good as my right hand. I have this team of people, my nucleus of people, that allow us to do the most difficult surgery in the world and somehow make it work. We go in and we're like the 11th or 12th or 13th surgeon, and it's failed, and they've all been to good surgeons. Because of my right hand, Heidi Hutchison, who's my full right hand, and Katie Steinbrenner, who's my nurse, who will get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Ashley and Doug Mess, my anesthesiologist, I'll stop. But it's because of them that I'm able to do this stuff on Botched.
No, it's great. I have a weird love-hate relationship with Botched by Nature, because I love it because I love watching. I've seen all the episodes because I host a show called Botched Post-Op. If any of you have seen it, it's coming back August 3rd, right after Botched by Nature, where we kind of go behind the scenes of Botched and, you know, really see how the show is made and check in with some patients we haven't seen in a while. It's fun. It's a really fun show, and these episodes are going to be great. So I love that, but I've seen all the episodes, and it's an amazing show, and I love watching you help people with congenital deformities, people that really have been botched by nature, because there's one thing to watch someone being fixed of something they did of their own free will versus someone that really had something happen to them in their lives. And watch that. It's really heartfelt. It's super sweet. My problem with it is that it had him traveling everywhere. And, you know, for all of you whose husbands are either, you know, in the military or travel or, you know, whatever, you understand it's hard to not have your husband around. So that part I didn't like. But I loved watching that aspect of it. So how is that different from Botched? Like, what do people, what are people going to see?
Well, these are people who didn't elect to have these problems. In other words, when you have plastic surgery, you know you're taking on these risks. You want to be a better version of yourself. And when it goes badly, it's sort of understandable. I mean, you're not to blame for it because it happened to you by accident. But these are people who are born with these problems. And, you know, they had no decision. They weren't trying to look like a better version of themselves. They were born with congenital deformities. We have a woman who has a hemangioma face, and she's so cute, except she's got this huge swollen lip and nose. And if you've seen this, the commercials for Botched, I mean, these people are destroyed from birth. So we used all the experience on Botched, and I think we did something really special, and I hope you like the show. And I'll tell you something. One of the things I learned is that Paul can pass gas faster than you can roll down the car window. It's disgusting. There you go. That's just a little sample of what you're going to see.
Yeah, it's a great show. I always call Paul Terry's wife at work.
But he's very hairy version of you, honey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I need to introduce him to laser hair removal.
Right.
Maybe.
By the way, how many of the women out there think Paul's cute?
He is. He's very cute, and so are you. Everyone, please give a very big hand to my husband, Terry Dubrow. Wasn't my husband cute? Oh, I love having him on. So before we get to our next segment, there's going to be lots more fun. And don't forget my Housewives recap of last night's epic episode coming up. I wanted to talk to you about Crane and Canopy. Oh my gosh, do you hate making your bed? I mean, I have found an ingenious product that solves all of your bedding dilemmas, and it's called the Nova Duvet Cover. If you hate making the bed as much as I do, you are going to love Crane and Canopy's Nova Duvet Cover. It's the easiest and fastest way to make the perfect bed every time. Now, I have a king bed, and for those of you who have king duvet covers, we all know how incredibly difficult and frustrating it is to put your comforter inside the duvet cover. I mean, you almost need like four people to do it, right? Well, Crane and Canopy's Nova Duvet Cover makes stuffing your comforter in the cover so easy because the enclosure of the duvet cover is now in the middle of the duvet cover versus the bottom. I mean, you don't even have to break a sweat to put the comforter into the four corners. Speaking of corners, this duvet cover comes with the interior corner ties, so the comforter is guaranteed to stay in place. Now, here's my favorite part. The team at Crane and Canopy designed the Nova Duvet Cover so that in one simple motion, you can get the look of a perfectly made bed right down to the classic fold-over top sheet look. Just throw the duvet cover over the bed and voila, you are done. And listen, let's talk about how amazing and luxurious Crane and Canopy's bedding feels. It's crafted from 100% premium, extra long staple cotton and woven in a silky smooth 400 thread count. So go visit craneandcanopy.com/Heather and you're going to get 10% off your order if you type my code Heather at checkout. That's C-R-A-N-E and canopy.com/Heather and enter code Heather at checkout for 10% off with Crane and Canopy's Nova Duvet Cover, making your bed will never be the same again.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
Do you find that listening? Some people say that listening to me on Heather Dubrow's world, you understand who I am a little better than seeing me on the show. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I like that. So we're going to do our Dear Heather questions, and Natalie is going to get a microphone, and she's going to come in the audience, and I think some of you have questions.
Hello. Oh, I see someone pointing.
There?
I'm going to go there.
Where's Natalie?
I saw the first person.
Oh.
I saw you. I saw a guy.
Natalie's going in the audience.
I see
she's
you. I see
question.
You. Hi. By the way, there's so many more guys here than I expected. Heather, don't you agree? She's not listening. Hello, Heather.
All right,
aren't there so many more guys than you thought would actually be here?
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I know, right? Okay, so here's the first question. Ready?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, what was your name?
Dean.
Okay. So this is from Dean. Dean,
hi,
where
Dean.
Are you from?
Dean. Hashtag mean Dean.
Oh, hashtag mean Dean. Dean, where are you from?
I live in Foothill Ranch.
Foothill Ranch. Okay, so his question is...
Do you go to Cut Fitness? Oh.
We stock it, but we don't actually go there.
Oh, you gotta go there. By the way, the best classes ever. Eddie's the best trainer. I took a class for them, and I could not move the next day.
I'm a little intimidated. That's why I haven't gone in.
So was I, but I was contractually obligated to go, and then I was really, really sore the next. I'm kidding. Of course I love them. I went anyway.
Okay, so here's this question. Can I buy Terry a side of onion rings? Dean oh. Middle Row. Smiley face.
My gosh, am I ever going to let down the onion rings?
I don't think so.
You know what's so funny? So when I started the show, as you've, if any of you saw the behind the scenes season 8 episode, the uncensored, Terry signed the contracts for me to do the show. I was very hung up and nervous about people seeing me on the show. And I just wanted to get through it and not make an ass out of myself and, I don't know, and not ruin my career. And we were throwing this party, and he was just needling me about the onion rings, and I didn't really think he was serious because he knew, you know, I had to, you know, I have 4 kids, and I'm trying to throw this party, and I'm filming the show and everything. So it became such a huge thing. But I will tell you, I have onion rings everywhere this man goes. I am not an idiot. I learned my lesson, and when it's especially when it's hit over the head, and then he got fat. So now he doesn't really eat onion rings anymore. But now he looks good, doesn't he? Yeah. No, he's bad. Now that Botched by Nature, he was traveling a lot, and it was difficult. But now that he's off the road, if you will, he is back eating very well and working out and not eating onion rings. But truthfully, that's not even his favorite food. His favorite food is potato chips with ranch dressing. I know, good, right? I like salt and vinegar, personally. It's good with champagne, just saying. Everything's good with champagne.
Okay, you ready for your other one?
Yes.
Okay, this is
where
Tori
are you?
Over here. I know
Hi.
You can barely see me. I'm very short. Okay.
Tori, you want to say where you're from?
Hi, I'm from Las Flores, California. Very
Hi.
Near.
Hi. Do you want to read it yourself?
First of all, I want to say you totally killed it with American Anthem, and you kind of have a raspy voice like I do, so I cannot sing, but you did an amazing job. So
thank you.
That was great. So I just wanted to know, there's so many new trends now as far as like cool sculpting. We saw you do something with leeches. There's like things that like heat your fat, so many different types of Botox and other brands. Have you ever thought about doing some sort of book or 30-minute show about just all the different, like maybe you try them and you kind of say, hey, this is what I think of
well,
this.
Well, here's my next shameless plug, Corey, because Terry and I have a book coming out in September 6th called Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Present the Only Guide You'll Ever Need to the Best Anti-Aging Treatments. Because we call ourselves Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig because we go out in the world and we test everything, health, wellness, and beauty on ourselves, which is why we were doing the leech therapy, because we were doing it as sort of like bits on talk shows. And either we have tried it, seen it, Terry's performed it, or we get an expert to come in and talk about it so we can bring to you every single thing out there. And is it snake oil or does it work? So that's if you Google Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig, you can find it. You can go on Amazon.com. We're the number one new release in our category on Amazon.com. Comes out September 6th. And don't forget to use your Heather DuBrow's World banner. You can go to heatherdubrow.com and click on the Amazon button there, and you support our show and keep podcasting free. So that's a really cool thing. Thank you for asking that. I hope you like the book. I should have brought books. Okay. Well, if you come to the show in Anaheim in December, I'll have books. San Francisco is going to be in February, and there may be cameras around.
Miami.
Okay, cool.
Okay, we're over here. Do you see us? Over here, to your left.
Okay, hi.
Hello. Okay, so I have Brittany and Patty here.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you guys from?
We're from Ladera Ranch.
Ladera Ranch, Tamara style.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, here's our question. You want to ask it?
Do you ever self-doubt yourself?
Every day.
In what way?
You know, listen, I mean, it was like when I was going to sing the national anthem yesterday. I know a lot of you don't know me. Some of you know me just from being on The Real Housewives of Orange County. Some of you might know me as Heather Page Kent when I had sitcoms and hour-long dramas and that kind of thing. I don't know, maybe a few of you here that knew me when I had my 14-piece big band and I used to tour around for a few years. So you know, there's pieces of you that want to read everyone your resume and say, but I do this, I do, you know, and you doubt yourself. Oh, maybe they don't know me from this, or maybe they won't like this, or maybe they won't like me, or me. I mean, I was worried about doing this show. Because even the, I was worried about doing the podcast, and then that became, thank God, and thanks to all of you, super successful. And then I was worried about doing the live show. I had no idea, like I said, if you guys were ever going to come. So I do have self-doubt, and I think there's not anything wrong with having self-doubt, because it's a way of resetting our internal sort of ticker. But I think it's really important to know that you know what you do and you know what you do well, and to be confident and to go out there. And look, there's always going to be people that don't like you. There's always going to be people that think what you do stinks. There's always going to be haters out there. But guess what? There's always going to be people that show up. And is that the coolest thing ever? So you know what? Look that self-doubt in the face and say, I got this.
Hello.
Oh, who's next?
Over here. Yes.
Oh, hi.
So I have four sisters,
oh,
and they're here for a 50th birthday.
Happy birthday!
You guys are from?
Well, we're from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh.
Yes.
Fun. Aloha.
Aloha.
I was just in Hawaii with the paparazzi picture.
We saw.
Okay, so their question is,
how did you and Terry meet?
Oh, it was not at a consult. Get that off the table. I was dating a comedian, funny that we're at the improv, and I'm telling the story because he's performed here many times. I was dating this comedian and, you know, just casually. And then my girlfriend was dating a transplant surgeon, and his name is Craig. And I said to Craig, don't you know one Jewish doctor? One? Anyone? And then I forgot about it, and my friend Carrie called me, and she said, Craig has this guy that he wants to introduce you to, and, you know, we're going to go on this blind date. And I went, okay. I had forgotten about it. I was like, okay, whatever. And then we went on a blind date, the four of us, at Ivy at the Shore, and it was just about 19 years ago. Yeah. Still talking. All good there.
Oh, are you waiting for me? Sorry, yes. I'm having like a full-on conversation of you.
Okay. Are you meeting boys out there?
Trust me. I don't think he's into... By the way, he's not into me.
By
Trust
the way,
me.
If you know someone for Natalie...
He's very cute, but not... They're
Natalie!
All, by the way, they're... Oh,
is
don't
it Natalie
get started.
Gorgeous?
Oh, no.
I know.
Stop, please. By the
someone
way, I deal with this every
was,
day of my life.
It's someone not. Once asked me if she was my daughter, and I was like... But of course she could be. But anyway, but then someone recently asked if you were sisters, and I was like, yes. Yes, we are.
By the way, we went to New York, quick story. She got hit on. I mean, like, left it. And I was over here like, hello, what about me? She's taken, everybody.
Oh, I had good game in New York.
Yes, I know.
I did. With a full-on ring, everything.
I
apparently,
know.
That's
they
a
don't
turn
care.
On.
Oh.
That's not good.
Well, here we have Jared from San Diego.
Okay.
I'm going to let you ask her the question.
Okay.
I
like the backstory.
So in my circle of friends, when someone pulls a dick move, we say, you ate the bow. So my question for you is, what was it about the bow that really bothered you?
I think it was a respect thing. I mean, if my child took a bite out of someone's birthday cake before they sang happy birthday, I would be horrified, right? You don't do that. You don't do it at a wedding. You don't do that anywhere. It's sort of, it's appropriate. It's a ceremonial thing. You don't do that. Wasn't that so crazy? What was funny was, that was my first season on the show. The finale party was at my house. I had no drama, really, with anyone. I think Alexis and I had made up already. Like, everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, this ancillary character, this Sarah person, breaks the bow off the cake. I gave her an Oreo. Do you know I'm obsessed with double stuffed Oreos? It was in the opening movie a little bit. Did you see Khloe Kardashian and I chewing on an Oreo together? She's very sweet, by the way. Very, very nice girl. But I love double stuffed Oreos. I think it should be a food group. That and Tic Tacs. Okay, I think we have time for one more.
Okay, so here it is. Last question of the night. This is from Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Okay, you want to ask her? Okay.
Hi, Heather. My question is,
what one item do you think is worth splurging on? So if you could splurge on like one thing, what do you think is worth spending that extra money on?
You're saying champagne. What do you say? Champagne?
Okay, I'll see you guys after.
A champagne wall? A bag. That's what I was going to say. I honestly think if you could splurge on one thing, get a fabulous black bag. It basically goes with everything. It's timeless. Just do it. It makes you happy. It's nice to unwrap it. A black bag. You need a fabulous... Everyone needs a fabulous black bag, right? Thank you so much for listening to our first live show. Now, don't go away because my Housewives recap of last night's epic 70s episode is coming up next. But first, I just wanted to talk to you about Blue Apron. Have you guys tried it yet? Oh my gosh, Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And because of this, the seafood is sourced sustainably, the beef is raised humanely, the chickens are free range, pork is raised naturally. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste, which is such an incredible thing, because I know I always overshop. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook together nearly 3 times more often. And those of you who spend a lot of time eating out or at high-end grocery chains, you can now spend under $10 per person for a healthy, delicious meal. I mean, check out some of these meals that were available last month. Spiced steak and tomato avocado salad with creamy cone cabbage and red onion slaw. Sweet chili chicken with Tinkerbell peppers, green beans, and jasmine rice. Oh gosh, I'm getting hungry. There's great variety. It's really flexible and easy to use. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/dobro. You will love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/dobro. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports Heather DuBrow's World. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. So Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Do you hate searching like me through stacks of old files and paperwork? Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you to get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process that you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check it out. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/Heather. That's quickenloans.com/Heather. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
Okay, Natalie, was that the most epic episode?
Oh my gosh.
Remember I told you that there's one episode that, it, like when the train leaves the station, it never stops? This is the episode.
I can see why.
Didn't you like how they opened the show with the fight and
yes.
then went 2 days earlier?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was confused at first, though. I wonder if anyone in the audience was confused. If anyone was, tweet to me. Because at first I went, oh, wait, is this the wrong episode? Did I miss an episode?
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, what? They're in the middle of the party. I didn't see the party prep.
That's so funny. No, I mean, this was like insane.
Insane. All right. Well, before we get to the 70s party, because mm-hmm. that's where there's yeah. so much to talk about there. I love that Megan came over to have me help her do her shots.
I know. That was so sweet.
She's so cute.
You can tell she trusts you.
I know. And I just thought it was neat. I thought it was cool that she was over and she could explain why we were going to DC mm-hmm. and how important it was. And that, you know, Jimmy's first wife, Leanne, had, you know, passed away from colorectal
yeah.
cancer.
I love that she's like advocating for it. I mean, I think it's really great.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it's one of those cancers that people are embarrassed to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this gorgeous
right.
young girl being the face of that kind of disease. I just think it's cool.
And not even that. I mean, that was like Jimmy's ex-wife, you know? So for her to do that, I think is really
Yeah,
horrible.
Well, they really bonded and, you know, were co-parenting
yeah.
the kids and stuff. So I yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
So we were hanging out in the house and then Terry came in.
Right.
So here's what I feel bad about.
Yeah.
He walked in and I immediately started in with him. Mother's Day.
Yeah, I know.
Really, really, it's so stupid. I get it. I mean, he just walked in the house. You can't do that to someone.
Yeah. Oh, at least you're recognizing it.
I do. But you know what happened? I had had a huge, long day. I was exhausted. I'm not, you know, saying it's okay. I'm just saying why it happened. I was so tired and I got home and the first thing I did, got all the kids settled and whatever. And the first thing I did was, look at my emails and there was the Terry's leaving on Mother's Day email.
Right.
So he walked in 10 minutes later and I went, ugh.
Yeah. You kind of couldn't help yourself.
It was just like a knee-jerk reaction, but mm-hmm. that's so bad. You can't do that to someone the second they walk in the house.
Yeah.
Got to like let them settle in.
Right. Get them in a better mood too.
Yeah. Liquor them up
yeah,
a little
exactly.
bit. But I guess I was just so annoyed because he says, always says yes. And now he had left on my birthday and on Valentine's Day and all these important, in my opinion, events.
Yeah, of course. But then you guys talk about it. So, which
yeah,
I'm
but
sure
it,
you'll.
But it wasn't cool to do it in front of Megan either.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're good friends. She's like, but no, that wasn't very nice. Yeah. Weren't Brianna's kids so cute in this episode?
Oh my gosh, hilarious!
I like that Vicky makes them call her. What did he say?
Oh, something dear.
Nana dear. Yeah, yes, Nana dear. That was so
it's hilarious.
Cute. And poor Vicky, I just keep thinking this poor woman. You know, she's been out of toddlerhood for so many years, and then she's like, just when she thinks, oh, they're having a nice moment, and oh, okay, you're gonna have breakfast in bed with your mommy. That's so cute. She walks out. I peed in my underwear.
So funny. She's a good grandma, though.
She is a really good grandma. And Brianna is so cute.
I know. She's always been, I feel like, so sweet.
She's such a nice girl. I hope that her whole health situation recovers.
Yeah.
And then there was that scene with Jimmy and Megan driving in the car. What'd you think about that?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I've met him, I think, you know, once or twice, and I've heard really good things about him through you guys. Mm-hmm. But I think if you don't know them, you feel really bad for Megan.
Right.
He just, like, oh, Jimmy, why?
Just don't do it. You want to yell at the screen,
You do. You kind of want to cover your eyes, like, no.
I think for Jimmy, I mean, he hasn't said this to me, but I think for Jimmy, you know, he has four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, had pregnant wives before.
Right.
I don't think he understands the emotionality of the IVF. And maybe if, you know, because they're doing the IVF because he had a vasectomy.
Yeah.
Maybe if they had been infertile and had been through the emotionality of that, he would understand it more. Although, I don't know, maybe it's just a guy thing.
Maybe.
See, Terry was really unemotional about it too, but I just always assumed it was because he was a doctor.
Right.
So to him, it was very clinical. Okay, we can't get pregnant naturally. Mm-hmm. We'll go to science.
I'm sure there's some men that love it and, you know, are okay with it. But yeah, I think for him, I think it's a little more than that too. He just seems a little just, I don't know, extracted from the whole situation.
Yeah, he's also super busy. I mean, he's now working a lot, which he wasn't before.
Yeah. I just feel bad for her.
I know,
I'm sure
poor
it's a
thing.
Roller coaster.
When she dropped him off at the airport and started crying.
I know. I kind of wanted to cry with her.
I know. I shed a little tear, I got to tell you. All right. So then, Shannon and David and the kids in the costume store.
Oh, my God.
Talking about wet dreams.
I know. I was like a little bit mortified, but it was kind of hilarious.
It was funny. It was real.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you have preteens and teens,
totally.
And these are the conversations that they want to know. I thought they handled it pretty well. I mean.
I was just laughing.
It's cracked
funny.
Up.
I mean, how do you, I don't think anyone really prepares himself for having to answer those questions.
Did you ever talk to your mom about stuff like that?
No, I never had the puberty sex talk with my parents.
Me neither.
It's like, you just talk about it with your friends and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
You act like it doesn't exist.
Right, you just
with
pretend.
Your parents.
But I'm glad I have that kind of relationship with my kids.
I think you should, yeah.
It's so much better. Yeah. I know my kids will ask me anything.
I like that, that's good.
There was someone in one of their schools was talking about 69.
Oh my gosh.
And so they were
twins, I'm assuming.
Yeah. One of the twin schools, and they were talking about it. And I said, "Do you know what that means?" And they go, "Yeah." And I said, "What?" And they did not know what it meant. So I explained it.
You did?
Of course I did.
Mike, how do you explain something like
you
that?
You just explain it clinically. You explain what it is.
I think you need to write like a mommy book. I swear. I do. I think so.
I think it's really important. I think it's important to be honest and explain that when people love each other, this is all positive stuff and in a committed relationship.
Really? Yes.
Yeah, I had to explain it. And what they thought was so misguided, I had to explain. And then they were like, okay, we're not mentioning that again. Anyway, so the 70s party. All right, let's talk about the good stuff about the 70s party first. It looked fabulous.
It looked awesome.
She had, I didn't get one when we left for some reason, but it was a little crazy when we left, but she had pet rocks.
Yes.
And she had 70s candy.
So good.
And she had, there were pop rocks there, I think, and there was like all kinds of fun stuff. She had jello shots and quarters and disco balls. It was cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
So fun. And the food was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah. We danced. Okay, what was I thinking with Roller Girl?
No, I think it was genius. But yes, once you're drinking, I mean, how do you... I kind of give you props. You only fell once, or did you...
No, I fell three... Well, they didn't show it, but I fell three times. So this is what happened. First of all, I'm such a moron. I didn't even think to wear pads. Hello? I mean...
You can't really wear pads. I mean, that kind of ruins the outfit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I didn't even think about it. No elbow pad, no knee pad, nothing. No. And then I didn't even think, are there stairs at this place? What if it was all carpet? Is it a skatable surface? I had no clue. I didn't think at all.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I fell three times. This is what happened. I went in, I was skating so well. I was just, cruising around, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we were drinking a little bit. And then the first time I fell, I think was that moment they show where I said, Terry, push me.
Right.
I don't think he pushed me after I looked at it.
I don't think. I think you actually may have like launched off of him.
We were, quote, dancing. But it was so funny because I fell.
Yeah.
And then I go, you pushed me. And he goes, I did not. And I skated all the way around and I came back and I went, you pushed me. But we were just being silly.
Yeah.
And then... I was feeling good again, and I was showing off a little on the dance floor, and I fell.
Oh.
That was two. And then the third time, I was just standing there next to Tamara, and my wheel got caught in her heel, and down we both went.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I had like a contusion on my butt cheek. Huge black bruise.
Oh, my gosh.
So bad. I could not sit down for
it. It was awesome. I got to give you props for that.
Meanwhile, I didn't realize it. I can play quarters.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
I was so good. I think I got Vicky wasted.
You were very cute in this episode.
Thanks. It was fun. I mean, I enjoyed having fun. I enjoyed having fun with Vicky.
I'm glad you did. I really am glad. I feel like that was an adult move. You know, it's kind of like let bygones be bygones and you have a good time. That doesn't mean you're going to be best friends, but it doesn't mean you can't, you know.
Well, you know what? Let's be honest. Vicky and I were never best friends.
I
mean, we text each other. I have fun when I see her, but we're not like sit on the phone and gab kind of friends. But I'm very fond of her.
Yeah.
And what I said in the episode, I mean, you know, I'm not the judge and jury. And if she lied, you know, karma and God are going to take care of her, and I'm over it. Yeah. I don't want to think about it anymore. It doesn't affect my life. I'm done.
You guys had a good time, it looked
like. Oh my God, we had the best time. We were laughing and drinking and playing quarters.
She looks so skinny, by the way.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't she look so good?
Wow, when she walked into Kelly's house, I was like, oh my God, is that the same Vicky?
Oh my gosh, and she had like little panties on under her dress.
I know. What? Sexy little thing.
She was a little trampy thing. So funny. All right. So, before we get into the bad stuff, I also really liked that moment that Terry and I had.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think you guys were just both like in a very raw, real conversation. And I think it was good that I feel like he had kind of like an aha moment at the end.
I did too. I had no plan to have that conversation with him because, listen, I know I make mistakes sometimes, but I'm pretty clear on the fact when you want to have a conversation like that, you don't do it with alcohol on board.
Right.
You don't do it in the middle of a party, but it just sort of organically happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so, if he had been resistant at all to what I was saying, I just would have shut it down.
Right.
But he was so open to what I was saying. And what I loved was in his interview, which obviously I didn't see till I watched the show, when he said that statement about how he gets it.
Yep.
I started to cry.
I know. Because it's funny how, you know, last episode, two episodes ago, whatever.
He's like, I don't feel bad.
Exactly. And now it was like, no, like he actually realizes it.
I think that was a good conversation. I think, he had an aha moment. I think I made the connection.
Absolutely.
And I wanted him to understand, I'm not admonishing you. Like, I'm not like going,
yeah,
and bitching you out. I just, I don't want you to come back 10 years from now and say, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way of how communication should be.
Yeah.
It's not bickering,
but now,
it's not arguing.
Let's see what happens.
Right.
Let's see if he can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the point. Now let's see. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the bad. First of all, I can't believe Kelly called David a pedophile.
I know.
What was that?
She just doesn't have a filter, I think. I mean, she just kind of says what's on her mind, which is fine, but not statements like that.
She has, her sense of humor sometimes is off. She thinks something's funny. It's not necessarily
right.
Funny. But I have to say, I thought some of Shannon's guests were completely inappropriate.
I agree.
I mean, I know Jackie and Nina that were at the party. I've met them a few times. Mm-hmm. But gosh, I felt like they were just gunning for Kelly right from the get-go. I couldn't believe Jackie said to her, oh yeah, I met you at the montage, but you weren't with him. Who says that?
I mean, like, you pull her aside and be like, oh my God, like, you know, what happened? Or maybe like a recap.
Or like, how about this? You say nothing.
No, as I'm saying.
Like, yeah, we met at the montage.
Yeah, exactly.
Period.
Yeah.
Nice to see
you. If you
want to
have a girl talk, you pull her aside. That was so not cool. But again, it looked very set up on her part.
Didn't you think?
Totally.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
And I just felt like when I was watching Jackie and Nina and Shannon sitting, I know Tamara was sitting with them, but when they were all talking, it just felt like, why were they gossiping about Kelly? What was the point?
Right. I think, and obviously, you know, well, the Nina girl, wow.
She went from 0 to 60.
I mean, you know her?
Yes.
Is she always like that? Or was it more like because the cameras were there?
Well, you know what? I don't know her that well, but
enough to say, yeah.
But look, you know, you'd think you'd be on your best behavior when the cameras are around, right?
So I mean, everyone was drinking too. So, I mean,
everyone
sure that doesn't help.
Drinking, but you know what? You still have to have some kind of filter.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I didn't like that Nina went right after Kelly and was...
Oh, bad. But I mean, then, you know, Kelly obviously doesn't react in a...
No, so here's the thing. So they're all going after her, I felt, like, for no reason. And I thought that was weird, that comment that blonde girl Jackie made, which was, what'd she say? I didn't think it would go like this.
Right.
This isn't how I thought it would go.
Right. And then Tamara was like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah,
like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
I completely understand why Kelly felt set up.
Yeah, I see it completely.
However, that doesn't mean that you could tell people they look average, that they're ugly, you know, you're nothing, you're Mrs. Ro- and then she went after by the way, you don't know Shannon had anything to do with any of this. I mean,
exactly.
Shannon wasn't going after her. It was these other two girls.
Right.
And all of a sudden she calls her Mrs. Roper.
I know. I mean, obviously you can kind of see because Shannon did bring these two people. So, I mean, I guess I understand Kelly's part, but again, her reaction was so not appropriate.
Outrageous.
But she was also so wasted.
But still.
No, I know. But like sometimes you just don't I mean, did she remember that?
I hope so.
Now she'll watch it.
I mean, my gosh, she was... I understand why she felt backed into a corner because she felt like the moment she got there, someone was on her butt, basically.
Right.
But that reaction was insane.
But it's weird. I wonder, because remember how she had moved her purse or whatever, and then you were like, yeah, no, I saw her move the bag.
Well, that was what was weird. Nina
moved... Why would she say that?
Moved Vicky's purse next to me. They showed
right.
it in a moment
yeah.
later. And then Nina was saying to her, go look in the bathroom.
Right.
What?
It was so bizarre.
It was like, what are you trying to get
her just
get
to
Vicky all crazy and move her? It was so weird.
So weird.
Yeah, I don't know about any of that stuff. I just thought that was crazy. I did not like the fact that Michael, Kelly's husband, started in on Shannon as well.
I know.
Totally inappropriate. If you know, I don't like the girls fighting, but you know what,
as
boys?
A man?
Stay out of that or get your wife out of the situation.
Right.
You don't start ragging on the hostess and, you know.
Exactly.
Just totally not okay. But speaking of that, I mean, David Bedore with Vicky.
Right. I mean, at what point are you allowed to say?
Well, what did Vicky say? Vicky said something that said,
She said something about Shannon, right?
She said, Shannon was fighting with Kelly and Vicky in the other. No, Kelly, she was still fighting with Kelly in the other room.
Right.
And Vicky said, Shannon's in all her glory, right? Is that what she said?
Something like that.
And David told her to shut the F up or something.
Right.
And then went nuclear on her.
I mean, I guess in a way, you know, maybe he's been holding this in for so long.
I get it. I don't care how you feel.
Yeah.
You do not speak to a woman like that.
No, you can't.
Uh-uh.
You can't.
Did you see me and Tamara holding each other in the middle of the room like, what are we doing?
It was like two crazy fights happening at the same time.
It was,
and then Shannon was like so upset, and she wanted to pull David, but David was, you know, obviously.
See, I didn't see a lot of it because obviously I wasn't in the room when all those girls were together. I was in the, if you could say, the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, depending if you wanted to be there. But I missed the beginning of what happened with the girls, and I missed the beginning of what happened with David and Vicky. So that night, all I knew was that everyone was screaming.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
But then when Kelly said, you know, no wonder you cheated on your wife. I mean, that just...
I know. I just feel like there's just certain things. It was just a low blow. It's under the belt.
You don't cross that line.
No.
You don't say things like that. Especially for someone who has been in a situation with potential divorce and, according to Shannon, maybe cheating. And
right.
It was way low.
Gosh, I mean, I feel like when you have skeletons in your closet, you're not one to talk. So
total, I don't know. Yeah. I just, the whole thing was outrageous and insane, and the season only gets crazier from there.
Oh my gosh!
And then
Vicky calls Brooks in the
car.
What
was that about?
Why?
That was the weirdest. I didn't understand if she was calling to say I love you or calling to say you better fix this.
You know, like when you have an ex and you're drinking a little bit and you just do like a drunk dial. Maybe it was one of those because she had kind of had an excuse to call. But I don't know.
I guess. But, you know, if someone faked cancer and ruined your life, wouldn't you lose their number forever?
Oh, trust me, I know. But she was madly in love with the guy.
I know. It's terrible.
But that was weird.
It was totally weird. I don't know. The whole thing was very odd. The streakers.
Oh, that was funny.
It was hilarious, but I couldn't understand them all, and I didn't get the streaking thing. First of all, there had been a lot of champagne. I had fallen three times. I was bumped and bruised, and I was having, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder from all the fighting that was going on, and they run out naked.
And then they start humping you.
Oh, my God. So I didn't even understand they were streakers, and now when I watched the episode, now I got it.
Right.
And I was like, what? Why are they nude? Why is there penises? And then why are you humping me? Why is that all happening?
I kind of like that you guys ended on a good note, and I like that Shannon just didn't completely shut down. It was like, you know what? This is my party. We're going to have a good time. You know,
I was pretty glad that she could get it together too. And she did.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like it.
She did. It's funny because the two of them disappeared obviously to change.
Yeah.
And I was worried. I was like, where are they? Where are they? Where are they?
Yeah.
And someone said to me, don't worry. They're fine. They're fine. I was like, okay. All right. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I skated away. And that was the end of that. But I mean, honestly, aside from the craziness, it was a before and after. It was fun.
Yeah, it looked like it. So then from now on, they just start. Is this kind of like why all the issues start? Is because of these fights?
This is how the season kicks off. And now you see how the relationships are all going to, you know, grow, change,
and shift.
So you're going to want to keep watching. Next week's episode is incredible. You saw on the coming attractions, Megan and I go to Washington, D.C., and Shannon and Kelly have lunch, and let's see how that all goes.
Thanks.
I know, right?
Yes.
I know, but it was an amazing episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Before I give you the link to the live show in New Jersey, I just want to thank all of our show sponsors, The Books, Crane & Summer, Audible, Blue Apron, and Quicken Loans. And you know what? I can't just give away one of these Books flowers. I am going to give away a second one because I had such a hard time choosing between Christina and this one from Laura Lee Beal. You are both getting the Books flowers of your choice. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, if you want some Books, save 20% by using the promo code Heather at Books.com. That's BOUQS.com, promo code Heather. So the link to my live show in New Jersey, go to Ticketmaster.com and type in Heather Dubrow's World. That's Ticketmaster.com, Heather Dubrow's World. Go to my website, HeatherDubrow.com, for a list of all of our upcoming live shows and dates and links to purchase tickets. Buy them soon because the last one sold out so quickly and there's VIP opportunities in these shows coming up. We cannot wait to meet all of you. And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Musical.ly. I'm at Heather Dubrow on all those. If you need some consult beauty, you can go to evine.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.